This is the Levels Podcast. I am Justin Horto, aka The Horoscope, and this is the Triple OG, Widamu Mason. Actually, someone tossed up Viliami for a specific question. I'll get to that on the preview.
I was Widamu for 5 days over there.
You're proper Widamu because we just got back from New Zealand. We had such a good trip over in New Zealand. OG, we got back last night.
Yeah.
Getting in here nice and early this morning. We film, normally film Monday afternoons, but we got in late last night, so... One thing we're big on is consistency here at Levels. We want to get in, make sure that we're flowing and getting our views, our show out to you. So we're here this morning, but a little debrief. Great trip.
Oh, it was a great trip. Like New Zealand really embraced us, didn't they? Like everything that we did from going to the Warriors game, golf, fishing. You know what I mean? It was just great, wasn't it? It was a good vibe.
Yep.
Well, the old boys' day.
Do you reckon? You know, well, we've done Origin now. Like, you've been doing these trips for a while. You've done ambassador stuff over there in New Zealand before. New Zealand and Queensland, I reckon you were probably equally as hated during your playing career.
Yeah.
But you've proper won them over now. Like, even if it's in Caxton Street and you're getting amongst it on Caxton Street.
New Zealand's really like...
They proper
love man. Like, walking down the street. As I said, like, I got pulled up by... Obviously, this whole TikTok generation, right?
Yep.
These kids are like 16 years old. I'm like, bro, you don't know who I am as a player. And they pulled up, can we get a photo and all this kind of stuff. All the tradies and the council workers and just people on the street was just giving mad love. So thanks to New Zealand, man, really made me feel at home. And I think they understand because I was born there as well.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I have my lineage is there. So
I know you mentioned that on the One Take podcast, which we'll get to. It's obviously going really well already. That dropped last night. Yeah. Jacko and Celia over there doing a great job. Did it ever cross your mind at all during your career? Like, was there anything I think you've talked about it before where, if you ever went to Union, it was
it was a different feeling because, my old man
picked the All Blacks, right?
Yeah. So my old man was Aussie, right? Mum's half Tongan, half Samoan.
Yep.
So I was just born there. So the connections, I was born there, right? So dad's not like New Zealand, or he's not a white, he's not a Pākehā or anything like that.
Yeah. How long did the family live there before they?
5 years.
5 years, okay.
You know, when dad, he didn't want to – I think back in the 80s, man, it was pretty rough, bro. Like the mongrel mob and Black Power, that was fucking killing people. You know what I mean? And he just didn't want to raise his family there. Mm. Wanted to raise – because he's an Australian. He wanted to raise him in Australia. Yep. And he knew, he's like, I don't want my kids to play for the All Blacks or New Zealand as well. I think so, because if I had stayed there
– 100% you would play for the Kiwis.
I'm playing for Kiwis or I'm playing for New Zealand.
Yeah.
Because I would have been there long enough to really embrace the whole culture and everything like that.
Yeah.
But then, you know, my old man passed away when I was 17.
Yeah.
So – I wanted just to represent him and his family and the Australian jersey and everything like that. So there was never ever a doubt. I was fucking close one time because Wiz, the great Gary Freeman, got me and Tamana Tahu when we were 18, 19, put us in a room. He goes, we'll give you a World Cup jersey, New Zealand World Cup jersey for 2000, right?
Yeah.
And we're like –
that was the year you represented Tonga.
Yeah. So I went, no, I'm going to play for Tonga and then I'm going to try and get that Aussie jersey. But we're close.
Yeah.
We're close. When you're a young 18, 19-year-old kid –
it's a rep jersey,
you
right?
get thrown that – you know, they're a top three nation.
Yep.
And I was like, nah, I can't. But I was very close that time. But then I had meetings with the ABs, a few coaches there, and Eddie Jones, and you know, and I was like, fuck, would I rather play for the Wallabies or – the All Blacks. Mm. I was like, fuck, I'd rather play for the All Blacks because they're just the history and the culture and the heritage and like the haka and all that sort of stuff, you know, and they're the best, right? Mm. Playing for Australia when I was playing for Australia, we were the best.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So you don't really
– had the flexibility because of your talent to pick the best option for yourself at the time.
Yeah. So I was just like, no, fuck, staying in the league. It would have been big drama if I'd have went on. Like Bradley Thorne, like Brad Thorne did.
Yep, yep.
Brad Thorne had those things because he played for
All Blacks.
Played for the All Blacks. He's one of the best crossover, best athletes Australia's.
He'd be the best.
New Zealand. Yeah, easy.
In rugby union.
Because he was one of the best union players.
Yep.
And so, you know, he played for Queensland, played for Australia. So he won a World Cup in Australia. Play for New Zealand as well. So, like, he ticked all those boxes, man. That's why I was like, because I looked at Brad Thorne, I was like, oh, that'd be mad to do that. Yeah. You know, so, sticking with the show in New South Wales and the NRL, so.
All right, a couple of really big thank yous. First and foremost, we'll go in chronological order in where we attended and who we caught up with. So let's kick it off with the Half Cast podcast.
Yeah.
Massive shout out to Tyson Pedro, who's deep into his camp. Two weeks out from the UFC in Sydney. Man, he was training so hard.
Four sessions a day, bro. I
feel so sorry for him.
We rocked up at what, six?
Yeah, we got there late in the afternoon. He did the podcast with us.
We only rocked up at six because he finished at like 5:30 or something.
Yeah. But we got there a little bit later in the day anyway. Mm. But that was such good conversation. I think that podcast drops the same Wednesday. Lukey's saying in the background. That was a good chat because not only did, obviously Tyson throw some stuff at us, but we were ultra you're a big UFC fan. Yeah. I love, the bigger cards I get into when the Aussies play. So I was super intrigued about his camp.
Yeah, same.
How he'd been getting ready for it. He's been doing preparation with the City Boxing crew over in New Zealand. So he's been doing a shitload of training with Izzy in preparation for for this card as well. And want to send our massive condolences to Kai Cutter France, who was supposed to be doing the podcast with us. Oh, first of all, congratulations.
I didn't know how little he was, number bro. Two. And he just choked us all out.
He's a little weapon, bro.
He's a weapon.
And he must have had the really big training session, those Saturdays and Sundays, where they said the boys get after it. I think it's called the Spider session. The Spider session, where you go 10 outs. So you stay in the middle and you go against 10 and it's, you go nonstop. Apparently concussion, he announced it last night. So
that's how brutal they
roller coaster are. Of a weekend or week for Kai Cutter France. But a really good dude. We ran into him at the Warriors game.
Great guy. I was just surprised how small he was.
Mm.
But he's such a weapon.
Yeah, so he would be, is he bantamweight? Welterweight. Welterweight.
What is he? What would he
125?
Be?
125. He said
65 kilo?
125, that's close enough. Yeah, about 65 kilos. But when you embrace him, same thing.
You feel him. You can feel it. He's
like athletes.
You're fucking choking straight out.
Might be a little bit
out.
Slender in height and weight and that, but you can feel the
– I'd tap out on Chinese burn.
shout out to those boys. Friday was really cool. It was really cool for me in particular. I obviously am for you, Mace, but it was Daniel Anderson Stadium. Ando was gave me my first ever jersey. I hadn't been back to New Zealand myself in 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
Dad used to represent the Warriors in the second and third season. 96, 97. And we went on the One Take podcast with our mate Vintage Jackson and Sealy. They're doing a really good job over there. Those boys, really entertaining. I've watched a fair bit of their content.
Mate, a Warriors home game, they're on.
Mate,
that is they run a good show. Shout out to the Warriors, man. Yeah. Like they have They got a big team over there. Like they got a really good media team. I think Jacko does a great job, but he's got about six.
He's got a big crew, right?
Got about six or seven with him, right? Just the corporates, how they looked after us, you know.
It felt like we were old boys going back there. That's the welcome. That's how I felt. Like they invited us with the old boys. Yeah. So we're celebrating old boys weekend. I was joking with a couple of the proper OGs that I'd taken my dad's spot.
Tira Party was there. Big Jerry CCU, Monty was there. Whitaker. Louis Anderson,
ex-teammate of ours,
Ruben Wiki, all those blokes, man. They're like, who was it? Dwayne Mann,
proper OG.
Yeah, like so. All these guys, I played with Dwayne Mann.
Yeah,
2000 World Cup.
You were talking about the 2000 World Cup. Yeah,
and we just loved him. He just started laughing. He's like,
there's so many other names too. Do you mention Arlen Guten and all those?
Yeah, Logan Swan was there.
Yeah, Logan Swan. They all played with man. Yeah,
but man, it was awesome just to see those guys because me. Playing against the Warriors is always a hard battle, man, but it's always mutual respect.
Yep.
You know, there was never one person I was in there with going, oh, I don't like this dude, you know?
Yeah.
We always had mad respect. We had a good time after the game, and you could just tell then, like, going in there, I didn't feel – sometimes you'd feel a little bit, fuck, I don't belong here. No, but they made us feel that we belong there, right?
For sure, yeah.
So that was that's good,
top
man.
To bottom. Like even running into Webby at the front, like, we're doing content. Webby's rolling in, getting ready for the game. Justin Morgan, Andrew Webster,
talking
about
the
coach.
Coach and stuff.
They come and said hello to us. Obviously, we get the greeting from the royalty over there and the butch as well. So,
no, they really embrace us, man. And they run it – like I've been to some games, you know what I mean? I played at some clubs and I'm like, that's probably the best game day – like sort of
old boys
show how to run it. You know what I mean? Like everything would look very professional. You know what I mean? From start to finish.
Yeah, I agree.
And home game, sorry, it's sold out.
Oh, sold out.
Always looks better when it's sold out.
Oh, just the energy around the stadium.
You feel the drums playing, the fires going off. Because we don't feel that shit.
No.
Because we're on the other side, right?
Yeah.
And you come from the bus, you go down into the sheds and you stay there.
Yeah.
And they haven't changed those sheds for 25 years.
Yeah.
Sorry, they're still scummy.
Yeah.
Their sheds, huge. Over the other side, see their gym is massive. Their facilities are huge. You know what I mean? So they've really really decked that all out. And I was always like wondering, like, where do they run out? You know, when they run out, all the fire and all this sort of shit. So they walk from the other side. So they showed us all that. Then through there, all the fire, all that stuff. And then they walk out and it was like, I said, ah, fuck, that's mad.
It's up there with one of the best game day experiences.
Yes, great.
In the competition for sure. And that, you know, you don't get as many as other clubs or other grounds, but 20,000, fuck, they're loud. It feels like, you know, when you're playing in the Super League and there's only like 5,000 to 10,000 at the stadium, but they're super loud. That's what it feels like. And I loved that aspect of playing in the Super League. So again, thank you very much to everyone involved at the Warriors. Also, I want to thank the boys at Unreal Hire. Took us out on the boat early in the morning, sunk a shitload of piss, got blind. Mace nearly killed poor Lukey on the boat. He got on the what would you even call it? Got on the throttle for a little bit.
700 horsepower.
700 of the best. We didn't catch fuck all.
Not a bite.
the conditions were awful, but it was a good afternoon with the lads, so thank you for that. Yeah. The main reason we're there, Gimme Par episode. This is going to be up there. This, you know, four episodes in, and I've done golf content before. This was a
– Yeah.
For me, this is probably – shout like without not respecting the players that have done it before, the best episode we've done. Tiaroi Links is stunning.
Is that the best course you played at?
Yes. Yeah, that's the best course for sure. So I want to give a massive shout out to the Hiroki Golf guys. They're the guys who organized it with Grace, who's the marketing manager at Tiaroi Links, and obviously the boys. So Dylan Walker, Wade Egan, and Sizz. And big shout out to our caddy, Jace. We had our own personalized caddy who's given us distances, fixing our divots, chasing Sizz's balls into the ocean when he was hitting it into the ocean consistently. We come up the coastline there, and I reckon Sizz put on this long par 5 3 over into the sand banks. And poor Jace, our caddy, was doing sandhills. It was like he was in preseason. But love, shout out to those boys. It's actually really good golf. Wade Egan, gun. Dylan Walker, gun. I hit him decent, and jokes aside, Sizz hit him pretty good as well. So really looking forward to that episode, and we'll see who wins, right? And then last but not least, a couple of people who we've dealt with in content over the years, or been either supported us or, you know, just what would you call it, like in the community that we sort of wanted to give back and get involved with. Been following us for a while. So Willie Cribb. Giggle. I've always been a big fan of Will.
I didn't know he was that funny.
Yeah, that's the first time we'd all met him, Mace, but went for a run with him. He's killing it over there in New Zealand. He's such a really good dude. He's doing big things. So it was good to catch up with him and his mate Ruben. And then we got Satay Noodle House.
He's a good dude, man.
He's been a guy that's done great things in the community for like small businesses that have
COVID, he was like supplying food for all the people that were struggling a little bit.
Yep.
Home delivery, giving them free food. Like that's a dude, man. That's a great human right there.
Yeah, he is a really good dude. And then last but not least, I want to thank two creators that jumped on board with us. We've got Shiloh Flavel. Check him out. Lukey will chuck in his I think we'll put together a little Day in the life vlog coming out on Shiloh Flavel. So go follow our boy on Instagram. And also Stacey Tapsell will come out and help us out with the golf at Tiaroi Links. So massive shout out to everyone. We had such a good trip. And honestly, it couldn't have gone any better.
No.
We've come back and said, we've
got to do this again.
You said when we were at the airport, we're coming back annually. So thank you to everyone who embraced us in New Zealand. While we're on the positive energy, I want to give a massive shout out to the Beak, Bloke in a Bar, Denon Kemp, the birth of his new baby boy.
Congrats, B.
It didn't stop him from having the laptop in there watching and preparing for footy. He just loved.
That's a pro right there.
He's a pro's pro. Honestly, he's a good friend of ours. He's been massive for us.
He's good.
He's always, you know, willing to reach out and help us with our content. So shout out to the Beak. Congratulations, brother. And, you know, welcome to dad life now. Mm. We'll put together something for you. We'll send it over. It'll be in good taste, just like the Hello Sports boys for sure. After all the positivity, mate, it was a really tough week. The passing of Kyle Turner, grand final winner with South, and a guy that, you know, I think he was a really underrated player too. He's a really good defender. I know he had his neck issues at times, a bit like the Brent Tate padding.
That retired him.
And that's always tough, mates, too, right? For players that the game gets taken away from, you know, I feel very lucky and privileged, and so do you. I know you feel the same way. We got to, you know, even though I only played 6 years in my career, I exhausted my talent for 6 years, and then I had another 4 years over in the Super League. I think I was at my peak by the time I left. So when I finished the game, I knew that, like, I'd give it my all. Sometimes it's tough when, you know, it's obviously taken away and there's the reports that are going on along with, you know, sort of what happened with his death. But speak of the player,
my condolences with his family and everything like that, first of all. This is a tragedy, man.
Yeah.
You know, this kid, I think he might be nearly 30.
31.
You know, just to have the game taken away from you, like you just said, like you don't finish on your own terms. And this is a perfect example of, you know, like men not really talking about what they're going through mentally, right? Because it's hard. It's hard when you leave the game not on your terms, right? And so, you know, did he move back into the country? Did he go back, you know?
Back to Coonabarabra.
To the country and just sort of forgot about NRL. But no one probably knew that he was suffering from this, you know? And that's like, you know, for young men right now who are going through anything like that, you've got to reach out to your friends and family and just talk to someone. Like there are systems in place that the NRL have. You know, you can't blame the game. You know, the NRL have all these systems. Like, you could ring up and say, look, I'm really struggling about this, and they'll help you.
Yep.
You know, but they can't read your mind.
Well, we've one of the guys that I've got to mention, Anthony Jelling, welfare manager at the Warriors at the moment. I know a lot of clubs got ex-players that are involved with those things, with those clubs. So if you're a player or just a regular person in general, make sure you find someone to talk to.
Like, and, you know, I've got a heap of friends, close friends from footy, and we always talk about stuff, you know, how life stuff, not just footy, you know what I mean? Like, how you going, man? You good? Like, you know, like, we're all pretty honest with ourselves as well. So, you know, imagine if he had just a mate who was out there and just said, oh, he's struggling a bit, and then you tell someone, then someone rings him and all that kind of stuff. So it's communication, and it's been just swallowing your pride a little bit, right? Yeah. And if you are struggling mentally, you've got to tell someone, because we don't want these tragedies to happen, because it's awful. You know what I mean? If it was a conversation that he had with someone, who knows? It could have saved his life.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but like, I just feel sorry for his family, the people that he's left behind. You know, this is a tragic story, man. Yeah. He's a really good kid, man. I met him a couple of times, and it's sad. You know, like, you just see all the shout outs from John Sutton.
Yep.
Sammy Burgess, all those blokes, you know, who played with him. They love him. Love him, highly respected. They never thought that this would ever happen, right? Yeah. Because they're the ones that you just don't know.
The quiet don't know.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Sort of like introverts in the group.
Yeah,
right?
You think he's going to, you know, he's just going to country boy, go back to the country and just work and do all that kind of stuff. But like, you don't know what he's going through. So, yeah, my condolences with the family, man. Prayers up for everyone involved. It's hard. It's very hard.
Yeah. All right, Mace, moving on, the merch, we were obviously rocking it. That's why we don't have it on today. I think we exhausted it in New Zealand. It needed a good wash. We got in late last night. But if you register on levelsnetwork.com.au, you are going to be the first to access the merch when it does indeed drop in a couple of weeks. Lukey will be sending pictures of the collection to the email list. So make sure you jump in there, levelsnetwork.com.au. While you're at it, register in your email. And if you haven't subscribed yet to YouTube, or follow us on Instagram, or subscribed on Apple and Spotify, please go and do that. We really appreciate your support. we can't do the things that we're doing right now without any of that stuff because that helps us grow. That helps out with our sponsorship that allow us with the solid companies like Body Science and Tab that provide us the freedom to do those things like visiting New Zealand, like bringing out merch. So make sure you go and do all of the above because it's a privilege to do what we're doing, right? Mace, go over to New Zealand and do what we're doing and get to talk footy to you guys every week and watch footy and mix and mingle with the punters. So extremely grateful. While we're at that, Body Science, let's get into it. Here we have the ready-to-drink vanilla and chocolate shakes, whether you need a quick hit of protein to help you refuel after a tough workout.
I think I'm a vanilla man, sorry.
Or breakfast on the go. Are you vanilla?
I'm vanilla.
I'm chocky. What male? Those are currently available in Coles, online at bodyscience.com.au and in independent supplement retailers. You can either get the vanilla or you can get the choc mundane. At Coles, so make sure you go and grab them. They're the grouse. They're really good for breakfast on the go. Mace, you're fasting at the moment, but you'll smash them when you get back on it for sure. Yeah. YouTube questions, ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's go, man.
All right, this one's more of a statement, or not a statement. This is a bit of information from our last podcast. This comes from Declan Smiskinski. Do you reckon? Do you reckon that sounds right? 6514. Todd Carney played at the Atherton Roosters. Yes, he did, and he worked at the pub at Atherton too.
I fucking told you.
Yeah, he did. So shout out to
great
Declan.
Great old time.
There was a couple of people that messaged us about this. Also got this one from Samoa 689. So the reason why Tonga took the tour against England is because they are finally getting rewarded.
20
they're
grand.
They're getting funded the same way the Kangaroos would get funded if they toured. So they are getting full payments of 20K. Full pay for staff, proper accommodation and facilities, hence why Christian Wolf accepted the tour in order to finally pay the players for their sacrifices. So if that is indeed true, this is just someone who's reached out.
It's true.
It is true?
It is true, yeah.
Oh, congratulations to everyone involved in Tonga. And that shows the growth of the international game, where we're going. We've got an international the only way we grow the international game is with things like this where I don't know if it's the Tongan government or the Tongan Rugby League or English Rugby League or who's got involved with it, but that's awesome. A lot of those players, like you were talking about, making decisions, right?
Mm.
The Adam Fanua Blakes of the world, the Jason Tomalolos, who left New Zealand and were settled and were getting good money going playing for Tonga for not really much at all during those World Cups. So a great step in
they're the ones advancing the
international game.
They sacrificed a lot of their money, right?
Yep.
For pretty much nothing. Now these younger players are getting the dividends. You know what I mean? That's unreal. They're the pioneers. They were the pioneers to start this whole thing, even to get all the Samoan boys to play for Samoa. All that because of that 2017 World Cup. And that's massive. And I'm not sure how they got here, but they did, finally, and if they deserve every cent they get. And I hope Samoa gets the same sort of money in all the islands because, you know, even just going to rugby union right now, there's a big, big discrepancy in payment.
Mm.
That's why you go through that All Blacks team, man. Mm. How many proper New Zealand boys are in there? You're born in New Zealand, but what's their lineage? What's their heritage?
You're a lot of heritage.
A lot of Samoan boys, a lot of Tongan boys, a lot of Fijians, right? You take all those blokes out, let them play for their own country.
Mm. Even the Wallabies.
Are the All Blacks going to be fucking as dominant? Are the Wallabies going to be as dominant?
Mm.
Now you've got like just say three or four French Tongan descendants, right, playing for France because you go over there for 3 years, right? So you're going to have all these guys,
hit the Tua Lungis,
right? So yeah, so the Tua Lungis and all that, they had their kids all born there, right? They're about 20 years old now. They're going to play for France.
Mm.
You know, England, Vunipolo, all that. You know, he was over there for 3 or 4 years, plays for England because they're not going to play for Tonga because of the fact that this.
Cash money.
You're getting 50 grand or something like that. You're playing 50 grand for like a test for England.
Yeah.
They're the highest paid. You know what I mean? And the Frenchies.
English are the highest paid.
English are the highest paid.
Even over the All Blacks? Yeah. Far out. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they got a lot of money in union in England. So
yeah, I knew that for club level. I didn't know that translated that to international.
Take all the Polynesian players out of rugby union, right? And they start playing for their own they just say this year they did that. This is going to be like South Africa will probably pump everyone because they're all South African.
Yeah.
It won't even be close.
South
Wales, Ireland, they're all born there, man.
Yeah.
Born in like and they've got Irish heritage, like, you know, the All Blacks go through their whole team. It's probably about 10.
10 Maldives.
Easy. 10, yeah, no, 10 like Samoan or Tongan or Fiji.
Oh, yes, yeah, so, yeah.
And then you probably even more than the Australian team. You know, you're probably talking about maybe 8 or 9, maybe more.
Yeah, interesting.
And then it's a level playing field. But the only the whole discrepancy in the whole thing is because of the money.
Yep, for sure.
And hopefully it evens up.
Yep, moving on to the next one from Tamara Pitt. Love the pod. Boys, two questions. What's the best away team nightlife? So away game to go out to after. He's got in brackets Mad Cow because
– nearly there.
he might be referring to our story in the Mad Cow. And second, team or club you would like to have signed with during your playing careers?
First question.
Yeah, first question.
So Sydney, right?
Yep.
It's a great place. Great place through the 2000s. King's Cross going off. Everything's fucking wild, right?
Yep.
That was always fun for us, right?
But there's
a lot of fucking shit that comes with it, right? You can get in trouble. You can get, you know, you fucking go out for 2 or 3 days. It's not, you know. You got the North Queensland. So the Queensland teams really embrace rugby league players, right? So you can fucking, you know, they'll give you a VIP booth. They'll let you, you know, sit you there. They'll always look after you. They'll let no one come near you, cause any trouble, all that sort of shit. So they look after you in Sydney.
Yep.
She's free reign. Anyone can do whatever they want.
Yep.
That's why these young kids don't go out anymore because they don't get looked after. So in Brisbane, North Queensland, they're the best places to get. Gold Coast, because they just look after all their boys. That's why the Queensland players never come down here. There's too much going on down here. Yeah. You know what I mean? They can't deal. A lot of distractions. So up there, Brisbane still look after their boys. They can still go out the Gold Coast. But North Queensland is
pick one.
North Queensland, Townsville. Played there for a year. Yes, Red Dogs, Mad Cow. Those places are still so much fun.
Yep.
So much like good energy, and everyone's not out to like take photos of you. Even when we're up there this year,
yeah,
don't get any hassled at all. Like, they just want to come up, have a photo, respect you,
yeah,
and like, you know,
try to buy you a drink,
try to buy you a drink, and then they move on. They keep pushing. You got blokes coming over here, they were trying to buy you a drink, take a photo of you drinking the thing. I was like, fuck, you don't, that's why I fucking hardly ever go out in Sydney.
Mm.
But yeah, Cowboys,
yeah, North Cowboys, Queensland. And team of club you would like to have signed with.
I was very close to close to Melbourne a couple of times. Back in like 2005, I think. Yep. So they've barely offered me a 5-year deal, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when I was about 25, 26 years old, and I stayed at the Dogs because I didn't think they weren't that team yet.
Yep.
We were already established, and I thought we were going to stay there forever. But yeah, like he's that. I would have been loved to be coached by Belly week in, week out.
Fuck.
And Melbourne would have been mad.
You've never told me that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been good. Well, that Melbourne's also my answer, but my answer for both. So I love Melbourne. I love going down for Melbourne, whether it's the races.
Yeah, I love fucking Melbourne too.
That's right. You can have Townsville.
I totally slept on it. Yeah, I love Melbourne.
Yeah, Melbourne.
Oh, sorry.
For the same reasons, right? Like I was never a popular player, so it didn't bother me where I went, right? I never got like hassled. But during my time at Melbourne, used to go down there with the great snake, the Prince of Brookvale, Brett Stewart. Shout out to our man down there, Simon Lennox, who's
great people.
Yeah, he used to look after us at Hotel Barclay back in the day. Now he's got the Osborne Rooftop. It's the place to be.
Yeah.
We'll be linking up with him. We've got the races Caulfield coming up. Cup, we've got Derby Day. We've got Caulfield Cup with him. So we've got a fair bit of races to go. And I think off the back of the great debate, AFL are well and truly hammering us now, Mace.
Oh, really?
So want to give our friends, our partners, the Tabba shout out. The reason I love going down to Melbourne because it's AFL, right? And, you know, the Snake, he's a popular guy playing for New South Wales, Australia at the time, just going under the radar. All the AFL stars are the opposite. They want to come to Sydney. It's Buddy Franklin because his star power down in Melbourne,
he just couldn't walk around.
So he comes up to Sydney, gets left alone a little bit more. AFL, the great sports debate, are killing us, mates. 34% as of last night. Cricket, 21%. Soccer, 18%. We're losing the soccer at the moment. I know the Tillies have done well.
It's because it's the cool thing to say now.
It's the Tillies. But rugby league, 16%. So make sure you go on. We'll have a link in our bio. So make sure you go on.
That sounds about right to me.
No, we should be in front of soccer.
Yeah, maybe in front of soccer. Like you're saying, we do that in another year, we'll be in front of soccer because Matildas have been killing it. You know, cricket's always famous. like very popular. AFL, don't get it twisted. They're the national game. We ain't the National Rugby League. We don't have a team in fucking Perth. We don't have one in Adelaide. We've got the East Coast. That's it.
Uncle Gordy wasn't happy with Laurie saying that.
But this is just simple facts. Like, hey, I'm all rugby league, but I'm not. I'll speak about it diplomatically. I'm not blinded by the facts that they have 100,000 members, Collingwood, Carlton, and all these fucking massive teams, and they all turn up at the games. Do you know what I mean?
Crowd participation is big.
The members are massive. The views are massive. Like, it's the biggest game in Australia, easily.
Yep.
Like, look, even the Swans. Swans are like, you know, just down in Melbourne. Melbourne struggle to get 20,000. They get 50,000 when the Swans are going good.
I watched a GWS for Swans game last year.
So if you're simply going on numbers, AFL is the biggest sport in Australia.
That's what we need, numbers. So go on, hit the link and vote for rugby league as your favourite sport. No emails or anything required, just click a few boxes. Don't let the other sports beat the greatest game of all.
And this is the difference, right? With rugby league fans, they don't give a shit. You know what I mean? They're going to go in there and do this sort of like and waste their time. AFL, they're so patriotic and they want to be number one.
Yeah,
that's why they'll get on these little fucking apps and vote for AFL.
Yeah, get on the Kezzies and vote for us. Yeah. All right?
So like, just say if you got, you know, you get 1% of like any AFL team, right? Any of their members, if they vote, they win, and they do vote.
All right, moving on to a couple of really good in-depth ones that I wanted to address here. This is from Josh C. G'day, boys. Love the work you're putting in for the pod. As a Knights man, I have a question with the finals coming up and would love to hear the thoughts about this view. I understand and can see the Panthers and Bronx as the teams to beat, but earlier in the season, prior to the Knights finding form, and unbiased, I think, we have put in some very competitive performances against them both. We lost to Penrith in Golden Point without KP and lost by 8 at Bluebet. But you got to remember, Christian Welsh said you were playing in their Reggies. We played, I think, one of our best games against the Broncos, and I agree with that. And I understand that we didn't win the games, but when the boys are on, I feel they can beat anyone. If there is a team outside of, let's say, the top two, he says top four here, to win the comp, do you give the Knights a chance outside of the top two teams? Who would be the team outside of the top two? Because I think they're clearly
Penrith and Bronx.
Yep. Yeah. Is there a team, and can Knights do it?
Every other team is even as hell.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think the Knights on their day can fuck around and get to a prelim.
Yep.
You know, because they've got that. They've got a decent team. You know, they can beat Cronulla. They can beat Canberra. They can beat Melbourne. I don't think they can beat Brisbane or Penrith.
You know what a lot of teams will be hoping for? That somehow third or fourth
gets done.
Can beat the top two teams.
Yeah.
And then they end up on the same side. So Broncos and Penrith end up having to see
each
other.
And that's the only way that they might slip in and things fall into place like that, which I don't think so, because that first game where whoever Penrith and the Broncos play, they're going to wipe the floor of them.
You wouldn't have thought so, but I remember last year, didn't something crazy like that happen where Penrith ended up on the other side of
Penrith
the
year? Penrith got beat.
Did they?
They got beaten the first. Didn't they get beaten the first semi, Lukey?
The Rabbitohs got them.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
yeah. Was that the year before? That was the year before when they won it. Yeah, they ended up on the wrong side and then had to.
Yeah, the first year they won it, they were on the other side. But I think Newcastle has it.
Look that up for us, Lukey. Just look at the finals from.
That's 10-8 game with Parra.
Yeah, they did too. That's right. Yeah. They had the 10-8 game with Parra after that. So the year they won their first one,
and they could have nearly went Parramatta's way as well.
Well, imagine
they nearly went bang and bang out.
Imagine the trajectory of Penrith over the last three. It completely changes the narrative of who they are.
A couple of plays that fucking Moses kick or something like that. That's what happened.
They had no Reid Marnie, so it was Ray Stone playing hooker.
Yeah, Ray Stone.
Ray Stone, and he
was not a good performance.
He came up with a couple of errors.
Terrible.
He tried his ass off, but
when he hit Junior Paulo,
if Reid Marnie plays,
much on his back.
Yeah, they might win that game, right? So.
I think Newcastle, they can get through the first round. And saying that, they can get smashed in the first round as well. Do you know what I mean? They're a decent team, but they're not a team.
Currently sitting seventh. So if it stays exactly the same way, it'll be playing the Raiders at Canberra at the moment. But two games to go, so they can improve.
What do you think?
Outside of the top two teams – I'm just going to – I'm not just –
Do you reckon they can make a prelim?
I'm going with – prelim. Yeah, I think they can beat the Raiders if they play the Raiders and then have to play the losers of the Storm and the Warriors. Like, I think they could if the Warriors and Storm play the top four, finish the way they are. I think they can beat the Storm.
I think the bottom six.
But I'm staying with the Warriors. They're my team.
Oh, yeah. I think
they're the most consistent.
But I think the bottom six can all beat each other.
100%.
It just depends on the day and whether superstars show up. KP's on what he's on now.
Yep.
He can take that team to the top.
Yeah.
I'm just not sold on their halves.
Mm.
Still, you know, they're playing a decent brand of football. I trust their forward pack. They're fucking working really hard. The Nines going good. Phoenix. The fullbacks, the wingers, the centers, you know, they're good, but it's just that spine. It doesn't – even Phoenix Crossland, he's not a nine. Hastings and then Gamble.
Yep.
Out of all the spine
– And Hastings even missed that game and Clune stepped in and did a really good job.
Out of all the spine, they're probably the weakest out of those six.
I'd say Raiders with Jack White and Fogarty. And
well, you think Hastings? You think Hastings and Gamble is better than?
Are we including fullback in that too?
No, like spine, just the spine. Halves. Just the
halves. Just halves. So 7-6-9.
Yeah. You got Phoenix Crossland, who's been playing pretty good. Then you got Hastings, and you got Gamble, and then you got Jack White, you got Fogarty, and you got
just Raiders because of
White. Jack White.
Because of White, but other than that, on form, I'm going Knights. Yeah. And then you throw on KP and then they clearly win it. Out of all the bottom teams, yeah, probably the Raiders would be the most questionable just because, you know, they're never going to play expansive footy. They play power footy, so they're not like massive, you know, really big creating halves. So, all right, yeah, let's move on to the next really good question. Last one, and this is a really good one. This is from Dan Vowell 4. If I was the Tigers, I'd go full in for Michael Checker. He'll be coach of Argentina in the World Cup but isn't contracted after. Loves rugby league, grew up playing the game, now has experience coaching in league, taking Lebanon to the World Cup, has relationships with Dewey and some other players. He's one of the best. I think Alex Twell would have been part of that camp. I don't think he played the World Cup, but he would have been part of the build-up to that. Yeah. He's one of the best union coaches in the world, had a great success with the Tars and Wallabies and now Argentina. Most importantly, however, he doesn't compromise and runs his team's clubs his way without letting the board and outside factors make decisions and influence the team club. That's exactly what the Tigers need. It is obvious to everyone that it's not the coaching or players that is the problem, but the culture and the board and CEO. Yes, highly agree with that. Would also highly recommend The Good, The Bad, The Good, The Bad, The Rugby Australian podcast where they interview him alongside Levels. It's one of my favourite podcasts at the moment. Keep killing AG Scope. And Lukey gets a shout out on this one as well. The Good, The Bad, The Rugby, Drew Mitchell, Gits.
It's a good show.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of their micro Adam,
what was on there? Adam and Ashley Cooper.
Ashley Cooper. Yeah, Coops. Yep. So they had Desi on theirs.
They're good dudes, all three of them. All great players as well.
I love this, but I think he's talking about full-time coach. I'd like Michael Checker to be there as an assistant coach for Benji. For people that don't – not really aware of, like, Benji's influence – there's so many good nuggets in this, but the biggest thing is now the Tigers just have to step. But the biggest problem for the Tigers is they need to step away and just let Benji now run it. And I think having a guy like Michael Checker, it's our criticism of Kevin Walters in the past, right, has been making sure that you've got good people. All the best coaches, find the best assistant coaches and coaches that can make them better. I think Michael Checker for sure ticks all those boxes and I think he'd be a great addition to his staff if indeed Benji is looking for extra staff, a little outside the box.
I think it'd be great.
I think it'd be
awesome.
Because
he's a bit older. He's had a lot of experience with people, with different, you know, obviously union and all this kind of stuff, and he'd be coached Lebanon, you know, so he's got a lot of life experience. Like, that's what I would want if he's willing – to actually do that. Checker goes, I don't want to fucking go there. It looks like a basket case.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? Like, why would I want to be assistant? Like, I don't think he's going to be an assistant, right? I don't think he's going to be head coach, but I think he's just going to be part of the staff, right? You get assistant coaches, all they do is do a fucking video and all that sort of shit. He ain't doing that.
Yeah, he'd be a different sort of assistant coach.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
he would take a mentor role into it.
Yes.
And that's the way you'd propose
it. There's some
Benji
role, yeah. There's no, like, you're assistant coach, all you do is cut video up and then just do defensive drills and, like, you know, it's not it's not that exciting. He needs to be more hands-on. He needs to be like programs and like just pretty much nearly like a football manager. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just something like that.
It's almost like the version of what they were trying to do with Benji. Like there's not a box that Michael Checker hasn't ticked, but coaching first grade in the NRL. Mm. That's it. He's had experience at multiple levels of coaching. He's been successful. I think it'd be a great addition.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, just getting a feel for Benji, like I dare say he's going to be the sort of coach now that he's in this role and he's going to be taken over. I think Benji would be a guy that would reach out to the likes of these sorts of people.
But don't you think he could be a good mentor for Benji?
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like 100%. He's not going to sit him, like he can be part of the staff, but just be like Benji's right-hand man.
And he's had the pressure cooker of being the head coach now for so long. He might be at the position in his life like, could do a few assistant coach gigs, get paid, $250? Yeah. Some of these coaches are $250, $300. Yeah. Be an assistant coach, help a Benji. Because imagine if he is a part of – because I see some really good signs in the Tigers. Yeah. People are they're going through all this shit and it's – most of it's from the front office. If they can just fucking somehow fix that up and just stay quiet and don't see you, there's something – I feel like there's something happening at the Tigers. I don't know. It could be
– full pack's good. They've got everything there. They've got a fucking way better team on roster. Well, their roster's pretty good.
It's getting there, isn't it, right?
What they're coming.
And they're getting some good experience.
Yeah.
And they've been close in a lot of games even before winning the game on the weekend.
Yeah. But like, it'd be great to get in checker. Like, even guys like – who's the Wallabies coach now? What's his name? Fucking
Fozzie. Not Fozzie. The Wallabies coach now, Eddie Jones.
Yeah, Eddie Jones. Yep. Like, just someone, a brain like that in our game. You're fucking great.
Yeah. I think Benji would welcome it, to be fair. But we'll see what he does with his stuff because that's going to be a process now over the next month. And they've got to make sure that they don't plant people with Benji. They let Benji be a part of the process of bringing in his crew because, as you know, Mace, like with coaches, there's nothing worse than when there's not chemistry between the coaches because the players can feel it.
A lot of egos involved in coaching, right?
For sure.
You know, so you might think you know everything and then you've got the head coach there, your assistant coach, you go, I know more. Why can't you use my system?
Hmm.
Whereas it's like, no, it's Benji's system. So Benji needs to find the right people around him that are all in the same system.
Okay. You know? All right, let's move on to our body science dog of the week. Mace, who are you rolling with this week?
This was it was pretty hard because I thought there was a couple of big dogs out there just going hard. I thought Fanua Blake was outstanding. I thought Victor Radley was outstanding. All the big boys. And I thought on the weekend they played most teams played a really expansive game of football.
Mm.
Wingers were scoring tries, scoring trebles, scoring doubles. You know what I mean? Like they were finding those
– bit of jam.
You know. But they were playing these really good shapes, back rolls, hitting holes. I was just like, wow, this is – fuck, it's round 25. They're actually – some teams look like, oh, shit, it's actually starting to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So anyway, but I thought the Roosters were outstanding. And my dog is big Lindsay Collins, man. What a dude. I mean, showed me JWH is they're still their dude, but I've been waiting for Lindsay Collins to have a performance like this to show the Roosters like, I can be that dude.
The leader of the pack?
I can be the leader and a leader of the front row. I think J-Dub and Victor Radley are still those dudes, but he can be that fucking dude.
Mm.
He's an Australian player and a Queensland player. So he stats, 68 minutes in the middle, fucking ridiculous. 15 runs, 164 metres, 56 post-contact metres, 3 tackle breaks, 1 offload, 34 tackles, 3 try savers and multiple avocados pre-game. So he's had a solid game.
Nice little stat to finish off.
I thought he's outstanding.
The avocado call from
the avocado. Where did that come from?
I wonder like how true it is. It's got my mind ticking straight away. Let's talk about his performance. Actually,
yeah,
first.
It was outstanding.
Some of his efforts that I think they've been evident now for a long time. And you're right. I go back to the point with Jared. Jared's the alpha.
Yeah.
I think Lindsay and Victor Radley have to well and truly take over that alpha role next. And I think they can do it together. But yeah, avocados, pregame. Have you seen anyone like have any weird pregames during your time? Like, did you play with McDougal? McDougal was a weird cat. I know it's not avocados up your ass, but.
Yeah, no avocados in the ass.
Avocado
but
seeds.
Probably Ogre was the weirdest one with the danker rub on his face.
Oh, yeah. What did he used to do? Just full danker rub all over.
Full danker rub, man. I'm not sure. So, if you put that shit on your fucking arm, it's burning. Yeah. So, like, before. before games, he'd be like, he'd be shaved head, everything like that, all Vicks all
over. So people couldn't get grip it or whatever? Like, what was the reason?
No, his reason was because, like, he used to get hit in the head a lot, right in his face, couldn't feel it.
Yeah.
So he'd run into fucking brick walls, couldn't feel shit. That was his thing. Because I can't feel any pain.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you've got some fucking issues. So Vicks in the face, all over the body, all over his body. And he's ready 2.5 hours before the game.
Yeah.
This is full kit. I'm just rolling in there. He's boots, tape, strap, fucking jersey on, everything. And it's 2.5 hours for a game, right? So he's going around and going, fuck, switch you on. Fuck. At least 2 hours, bro. Yeah, chill out.
That's
listen
too much
to his
me.
Fucking listen to his earphones rapping 50 Cent, worst rapper of fucking all time. You know, a bloke when you can hear him and fucking he's not saying the right things.
Yeah.
Who's the guy?
Oh, sings the wrong lyrics.
Something about Mary. Is he my baseball? That's what we're calling him. Warren. We're calling him Warren.
We're going to have a cutout there in the background from Luke.
Yeah, we're calling him Warren. Anyway, so he'd do that. He would.
Here we go. Shout out Lindsay.
The avocado.
Your dog. There. Somehow we started talking about Marco Emilio through the Denker
up. Yeah, anyway, so he's so after that, just before we do the warm-up, just before we'd run out, then the trainer would come over and then the fucking Denker up all over his fucking head, face, everything. I'm just like, how are you fucking doing this? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I was just like, then you go and just fucking tear people apart. Dude. That's the weirdest shit I've seen.
That's up there. But the avocado.
The avocado.
The avocado seed is the big part it's in massive. The middle, right? Yeah. Shout out to Lindsay. What a guy. also, big shout out to my dog of the week, Kalen Ponga.
Yeah, man.
My dog. 21 carries, 172 metres, 4 tackle breaks, 3 line breaks, 2 line break assists and 2 try assists. He realistically could have had 3, maybe 4. He was just in everything. Mm. He had the pass before the pass. His
carving up
his kick returns and the amount of stress that he's putting on teams. Like he beat Campbell Graham two or three times at the moment. So there's a couple of things in that. One, he's in really good nick and he's looking to attack. And this is a clear sign to KP's in finals mode. Like the question above, Knights, yeah, they're a contender because KP playing like this. He gives his team a chance every time he's on the footy field. Campbell Graham, on the other hand, he's just. Looks like that right edge has been slightly banged up now for a couple of weeks.
He was supposed to be.
At the start of the year, he was probably the best centre, but defensive centre. I think he was the best centre in the comp for the first 10 weeks.
But like offence and defence.
Yep.
Now he's getting.
Would arguably be defence more. It was like a 60-40.
Yeah, I don't look at him as an attacker.
And he was just scoring tries as well. It just happened to be scoring tries, but defensively he was
getting,
so sound.
He's getting caned.
So KP, shout out to KP. Got a very small relationship with KP. Love to see him doing well. He's a good kid, man, and he can take.
Seeing him go well because of all the shit that he's been through. I love players that come through the other end.
Yeah,
everyone's doubting him. He's not going to be the player again. The head knocks are going to get him. He's going to retire. He's one head knock away from being retired.
That was a genuine conversation. Lindsay Collins' avocado underneath the table.
Now it's not.
Luke, you can grab that. Luke, what?
He's that dude. He's that dude again. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think it's sort of pissed him off, maybe not missing out on Origin, looking at little Reece Walsh, taking his spot, and he's fucking running with it.
Lit a fire, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, he's like, fuck this, I'm still that dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Even when I think about the kick returns and like I think when you're looking at the Broncos and Walshy and the amount of stress that he puts on the kick defense and the kick defense line, KP's now like looking back on it's an opportunity to fucking
I think he's taking a leaf out of Reece Walsh's book. When he catches Reece just takes you on.
Mm.
Where KP's got that
first few
speed
steps
as well.
Is go yeah, he's and then done, adjust.
He's, yeah, instead of going across field and trying to step this and that. Like, fuck the lines. There's 10, 11 people down there, man.
Yeah.
You got to take those meters like he's doing, bang, beat that guy one-on-one, do whatever you want to do, like create. Because the wingers, what happens at the next call, it's pendulum. You get your singer, center, and your winger back. So when you come in there, they all join up, right?
Yeah.
And he's smart enough as a ball player to connect with like Gags and Dom Young and all those kind of guys, Bradman Best, and the other winger there,
like, Dom Young and Marju getting back in shape.
They get back in shape, so he can pick. So if you're gonna, because usually you try and get to a corner, right?
Mm.
If you fucking don't have the right numbers and they've dropped back, those 3-on-2s are down the sideline.
What's the worst thing when you're on kick chase, right? And they're kicking to the right corner, you're on the left hand side. You're like, just fucking get tackled.
Stay there on the right edge.
And then he starts, and then he catches the ball. So what he's doing now, like what we're referring to, is catch the ball. Sometimes, you know, fullbacks and even KP in the past, catch it, look up, scope, like, all right, where am I going to go? All right, they look like they've missed their assignment on kick chase. I'm going to have a crack at them. Now he's going bang, running, and then going, where is it? You know, like while she does it, while she catches it, bang, runs 5 or 10 meters, and then goes, all right, there's the weakness there.
But people don't understand how important it is for the centers and the wingers to drop back. So when the kick's into that corner there, good wingers and centers, they're sprinting back to give KP those options, to give Reece Walsh those options. You've got Cobbo and you've got Farmworth, Stags. They all fucking drop back. So you've probably got like
– who's been the best of it the last 3 years?
Yeah. You've got probably four seconds to sprint back.
Yeah.
You can cover 40 meters in fucking that. You know what I mean? So they sprint back, get in shape, and then they're on play, and then they're on the play twos. Or if they see KP, you know, he might go that way, and then bang, 3-on-2 down that little short side.
Yep.
Take the meters. Forwards don't have to go back as far. Get on that roll. Fucking Penrith do it all the time.
Who's the blueprint? Penrith, right? You look at Penrith over the years. What do you got to do first? Defend really well.
Mm.
Defend your 50-meter line. Defend halfway. Keep them in the 40. Once you do that, you can get a pendulum with your back three. Your fullback catches it. You've got Dylan Edwards, Brian To'o, Taruva or Crichton of the past, or Charlie Staines who's been in that position, or Taylor May.
And then
they get the ball, and then you're attacking. You're pretty much just outside or inside the 50-meter line, and you're on the attack straight away.
So when they if the other team kicks the ball from, just say, the 40, they're trying to land it on the 20, right? So you've got, 50, 60 metres to try and just sprint back?
Yep.
You know what I mean? You usually get back there by fucking nearly the same play. But that's an effort play.
Effort.
These are the things that, like, the good teams do and the fucking average teams don't care.
They do it because they've got the energy, because they're winning – you can't do it unless you're winning the battle through the middle as well.
But it's an effort with the outside backs. They ain't working as hard as the fucking middles.
Yeah.
So we expect – those centers and wingers to be back with the fullback.
100%.
You know, and all, as I said, all the good teams, they do it.
All right, let's get into reviewing the games, Mace. We've got the Cowboys versus the Sharks. You know what this highlighted for us too when we were watching this game over in New Zealand? And it was, me and Lukey and yourself were talking about it.
Mm.
This is why New Zealand and Warriors fans are so loud. You got to wait, you got to stay up till 10 o'clock at night to watch this game. It was like, you know, once I think when Cronulla really kicked on after the Wade Graham try, and then we ended up like shutting it down. I had to rewatch
We couldn't even stay up.
No wonder New Zealand loved their footy so much and they're so passionate over there. It's a tough carry.
Would have been Thursday night 12. Game. Yeah. We were up at 3 o'clock that morning.
Yeah,
because we had a 6:30 flight. Right, up three, get there by 4-ish, get ready, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm fucked.
Yeah, so was I. And so were the Cowboys. They lose this game at home, 32-12 to the Sharks. Really good, strong first half, I thought, Mace.
Mm.
Tommy Dearden misses his assignment. He kicks it dead. There's a 7-tackle set.
That changed it.
They rolled him. They go, I think it led to the Hazleton try. And then a couple of plays later, Royce Hunt barges over just before halftime. After they were leading 12-6, and I think that really swung momentum. I seen Jason Tomalolo talking about it after the game. It was a good battle, and then once we lost momentum, we just never really got it back.
Yes.
And Cronulla just really went on with it in the second half, Mace.
Yeah, I little things like this are getting me with – it's great coaching from Fitzy and the coaching staff there to isolate drink water. Because what happens near the line, right? They call it ghosting. You have your fullback right there. He's tucked in right behind the play the ball. And then they come up a little bit square, but sometimes they don't even come up square. They just fuck off straight away.
So explain first why you either have him in that ghost, or we used to call it a soft A at Manly.
Yeah,
that
was soft the name A, they ghost it, yeah.
Why do they want the fullback in the line there on the line?
Because it's a perception of numbers, right? So, like, just say if you're in the middle of the field and it's a 5-5 split, that other side's a 6, it makes it 6-5. So you in the head, if you're a ball player, you're like, oh, fuck.
They've got numbers.
They've got numbers here.
Yep.
You know?
Go the other way.
So if the hooker can get out a little bit, like he was doing Brayley, and then you got these lead runners like Hazleton, who's a fucking big boy. He's been playing some really good football. Drinky has to stay there. So you've got another guy going out the back. So B is sort of like hedging his bets on, do I go out the back? Do I help fucking Drinky? And if the markers aren't working on the 9, Drinkies by himself.
You're fucked, eh?
Drinkies by himself. Yep. And he got caught by himself twice because Royce Hunt got him. But that's great nine play.
Yes.
It's all the nine play. So he can get out a little bit. Drinky still has to stay there. He's waiting for the markers to get him. B's still because they've got that diversion out the back.
Yep.
And then you just fucking run the line. Like, yep. They're big boys. Royce Hunt's at least a buck 20. Good footwork. And then
Drinky's throwing his body in front of
you. He's trying his best, but he needs fucking help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At marker, your job is to help him. You gotta look at the nine where he is, and you gotta fucking track his inside hip, make him play early.
Yeah.
You cannot let him get out towards
how important is that play the ball before it, right?
Oh, it's massive.
Yeah.
And that's what they all go off. You know, that's why it's so important when you're in the ruck to slow those plays down.
Mm.
Like, give it another second so the markers can be up in that power position and fucking pounce at the nine. You can't be like man down at sight, you know, going the other way and like he just goes the other way. You know what I mean? Like the nines are too good and their shape is too good. And it's great coaching from Fitzy.
100%.
Because he isolated them all. And I expect that a lot more from teams.
Yep. And as a defender, right, so when you're defending, so generally what Mays is talking about, if he could be like a soft A, so if you've got, you know, your back rower, your half, your center and your winger on one side and you've got Drinky, for instance, as your soft A or A defender on the short side, what happens is this is when you start getting stripped on the edge because once you see the efforts of the Sharks players, Sharks middles getting at fullbacks, whether it's Drinky, Tyrell Sloan, Walshy of years past, they Campbell, start to really attack
Campbell, young Campbell
Jaden Campbell.
Him.
What you start doing is your back row going, fuck, I've got to help him out. He's not going to be able to sort out the big fella by himself.
Mm.
You bite a little bit harder. Then you start getting them with shape on the outside. Yeah. So Sharks are doing it really well. They want to go through the front door, and they did that against the Cowboys. Yeah. And that's a really good pack too.
That's a good pack, yeah. And they're well balanced. The Cowboys, you don't go into a Cowboys game going, we're coming through the front door.
Yep.
But that's coaching, great coaching. I think a lot of other coaches should really buy into that because they're very vulnerable, those fullbacks. And I'm not a massive fan of it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I get it. Why? You know, because you're trying to put more numbers in there just for the defense. But like, fuck, if he ain't a good defender, get him out. Like, just let him be behind the line for the kicks and all that kind of stuff. Because they rely on your right three, which is usually your halves and all that kind of stuff. When they do put these little crossfield kicks and little grubbers in there, they're the ones that's got to save him because that guy is still in the ruck, the fullback.
Yep.
So he's coming up. He's got to check the leads and everything like that and then fuck off. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and you can get him with overchasing. You can where get you might him, do yeah. A drop play and coming back.
That's
on the
why it's such hard. It's such a hard position fullback play, especially in the red zone.
Well, you know why? Because Billy Slater did it so successfully for so long.
Yeah.
That not everyone's Billy Slater.
No. Minicello's, all those blokes, mate. They killed it.
Onto the Cowboys. Want to give a massive shout out to the entire back five for the Cronulla Sharks. All of them run over 100 meters. Connor Tracy is putting together a case that if Will Kennedy comes back, I think he's supposed to come back in finals. Connor Tracy is going to be really hard to push out of the starting 13. I think he'll be a really good luxury super sub because they've got Moisa playing that at the moment, but he only played 6 minutes on the weekend.
I think Kennedy deserves to get his spot
back.
Would
you go Kennedy straight back
in? I'll put Connor Tracy on the bench.
Okay.
I just think it'd work better because you always someone's you know these HIAs and all that sort of stuff and injuries it happens.
I'm very conflicted on this because when you look at the Tracy reminds me of
fucking runs hard
of the Dylan Edwards the Teddies like not saying that's his where he's at. But that's the sort of style of player he is where you're going to get these 250 yards, 20 carries, a lot of work rate, you know, working really hard defensively. He's the sort of dog who can play soft A, sweep. If you can't really spot up a Connor Tracy, he'll put his body in front and then he'll be really fit and be able to double D.
I agree because Will Kennedy's probably in that kettle of fish as well.
Yeah, and Will Kennedy does a good job, but then Will Kennedy's silkiness against the top teams, like your Drinkwaters, like your Walshies, who can make the double cutout. Like
can he can get around the back of three on twos, he can hit the right man.
Always.
Can Connor Tracy?
No.
See, that's
not,
the difference.
Not to Will Kennedy's level.
I just want, and he could probably come on at nine as well.
Yeah. So what do you
Brayley a little bit of a rest.
Who, Will Kennedy?
No,
oh, like Tracy.
Yeah. I think he can play anywhere. He's just a little energizer bunny.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's earned the right to get Will Kennedy's spot. I reckon he's been great for 3 years.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
You know, his consistency, and he's going to be busting his ass to get back, and he deserves his spot back. But Connor Tracy deserves a spot in the 17.
Yeah, he'll be in the 17 for sure. I had a little play last night. Just a little nibble. Cowboys to make the 8. Now, hear me out. They're sitting currently on their same points as the Rabbitohs, Cowboys and Roosters. So the Roosters and Cowboys play this week. The Rabbitohs have the bye. So they'll go to 30 points. So therefore, the Cowboys and Roosters both have to win their games to be a chance. The Cowboys play the Dolphins and the Roosters play the Tigers. So I know some crazy things have happened this year. You'd like to think with everything on the line, the Cowboys and the Roosters can win that game.
Checking the for and against.
Well, I've got the for and against for you. I've got it all planned. Rabbitohs plus 73. So if they win out, they've got to win their last game. But I'll get to that. We're building towards that. The Cowboys are on plus 12, whereas the Roosters are on minus 62. So let's give Rabbitohs 30. Let's give Cowboys 30. They get the job done against a busted Dolphins team who are trying super hard. And the Roosters should account for the Tigers. All three teams are on 30 next week. So Roosters, Roosters realistically can't make the finals because if all teams finish on 30. But what they can do is they can fuck up the Rabbitohs.
Yeah.
So the Rabbitohs lose the game, Cowboys jump them, Roosters jump them, Cowboys make the 8.
On it's for and against?
On for and against over the Roosters, yes. Yeah. If indeed they do beat the Rabbitohs, who could be potentially minus Trell Mint at Allianz.
What do you mean potentially? He's
well, he's suspended, but you can appeal it. So he's got one game at the moment. If he appeals it and loses, it's 2. But if he appeals it and gets off, then he can play in that game. So
I want him to play. Fuck.
Not me, because I just put money on the card.
only for a fan. I want, like,
I've only put a little bit on it, so I don't. Give a fuck.
You haven't loaded.
I don't give a fuck. But I actually want Trell Mitt to play at Allianz against the Roosters fighting for that final position. Good, that would be all time. But if it doesn't go that way, I still think the Roosters can beat the Rabbitohs anyway. I think the Roosters are playing better than the Rabbitohs right now.
The Roosters need the Cowboys to lose, eh?
The Rabbitohs have got a really big bye week, refresh, get their shit together, get on the same page because, they're not top 8 quality at the moment. And They need some hard truths. Cowboys, no, the following
3 weeks. He got 3 weeks, didn't he?
I think it's because he fought it and missed it. So
he got 4.
Yeah, he got 4. Fucking so I think he's back for the last game.
God, that's fucked him.
And sorry, I didn't mention the Cowboys. Cowboys got one more game, and it's against Penrith. But guess what?
Will they rest them?
Penrith, I believe, they've locked up now, so they're first or second. They can't lose it. The 40 points, Warriors on 36. So they could potentially rest their players for the next 2 weeks. I think they play their reserve grade team against the Cowboys last round at Penrith, and Cowboys can get the job done and therefore make the 8. So I've got 650.
I don't hate it.
I've got them on before a 15s, and then I got a little bit more jam at 650. So
they've been fucking with me all year.
I've been doubling down.
I backed them to make the grand final.
I've been doubling down on the boys all week.
I'm off them, I'm back on. Now I'm back on.
All right, you're back on with me?
Yeah.
Let's see how we go in the next couple of weeks. Warriors versus Eagles, we're there for this one. May Siebes is not happy. Obviously, the final minutes and the non-penalty to Ruben Garrick, but the Wars again find a way. Let's get to it. The most controversial moment, as my notes have gone from Tigers versus Dolphin. Did you delete that?
I touched it.
That's all right. We'll figure it out. I will just talk about that game.
Somewhere else.
Siebes
is down there with the Appy one. A Dragons and Storm was on the end.
Oh, got it. Yeah. But how did you see the Ruben Garrick non-penalty from Chance Nickel-Klogstad?
He put him in a dangerous position. That's all it is. The rules are like that. Like imagine if he landed on the back of his neck.
Mm.
Like he put him in a position. He shouldn't be able to touch him. When he's up there like that, you're not allowed to touch players, you know, because you can put him in a precarious position. You know, lucky he landed on the middle of his back.
Yep.
His legs are in there. Imagine he flipped and landed on his head, right?
Well, it still had an effect on him, right? He was injured, so he put him in a dangerous position.
Fucking rib or something broken.
Ruben Garrick had to whiff on the Murata Niokora try. Like Ruben just stopped on his run.
He couldn't run. Mm. He'd broken his busted his rib or something like that. So
I'll be surprised if he plays this week.
Yeah, I was shocking to me. Mm. I was just like, wow, that's a bad play. So that's a bad call.
I think the rule is it's six again if the ball is live from an attacking point, like it's a bounce ball. So therefore, you can indeed attack the legs like you would if
wow.
You know when the attacking kickers, remember they brought in that rule maybe like 15 years ago when wingers were getting really tall and they were just jumping over play so you could attack the legs of the kicker and knock them over. But I believe in the ruling it's also, like you're alluding to, Mace, that if you put a player in a dangerous position, regardless of what the tackle may be, then you can rule on at fucking 70% of that collision – Ruben Garrick was in a fucked position.
It was awful.
So I think for sure he was in a dangerous position and it should have been a penalty.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking worst case scenario, look at all these things. It's just like he's in a vulnerable position. You touch his legs. Imagine if he landed on his head and broke his fucking neck.
Yeah.
Because that's what could have happened.
Or just landed on his head, concussion, right? Because they're trying to get rid of CTE. Like that's the lesser of the...
Yeah, he smashed, he smashed his head on that. A bang. We're trying to be like protecting players and stuff. Mm. He was in the most unprotected position and it's a penalty.
And who's to say he wasn't concussed, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it was back or maybe it was concussion because he whiffed on the play for sure.
Because it's about your brain moving, right? I'm pretty sure it moved. You know what I mean? So, like, imagine if he flipped in the wrong way and he comes down on his and does his knee. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just got to think of all these points. Like, if that ball's in the air, don't fucking touch him.
It was so quick for Chansey, and Chansey's not a dirty player.
He didn't mean it. Jeez,
and he didn't mean for that. But you're right. Like, I think 99% of the tackles that people. That defenders do illegally. No one has intention to whack someone in the mouth or shoulder barge them in the head. It just goes wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
Except for my crusher tackle in Catalans. Yeah, that was a 10 in that one.
drop the hips and everything.
But I think there are a couple of moments. The Warriors have been on the back end of some tough calls as well. Yeah. I don't think Manly, despite playing really good in this game, I don't think they were going to do anything in the competition anyway. So. We move on.
The Eagles had everything to play for. Not really.
Were they to stay alive? Yeah, mathematically, but they were never going to make the finals anyway. As for the Warriors, are you concerned that they're not putting away these lower ranked teams like Manly, like the Tigers, the Dolphins, Titans, sorry.
Not really, because I just look at – As I said last week, like these lower teams, they've got a lot to play for.
House money, right?
Yeah, like, and you're playing for your career. Some are playing contracts. For their career contracts, you know what I mean? So you're not going to go in there, just say, for the last four games and just like put in these poor efforts. Everyone has pride, right? You know, and you're going out there for your club, for your boys, to be players leaving next year. You put in those efforts. So they've been playing these lower tier teams who are putting fucking max efforts in, and they're still beating them.
Mm. And they get the Dragons this week, who just put in a good effort against the Storm as well. Yeah,
like that'll be a hard game.
It's not going to be easy for them.
But the thing is, they're still winning.
Mm.
That's the fucking difference between Warriors of 3 or 4 years ago and the Warriors now. And they get the job done.
And you know what's the difference between the Warriors and the Rabbitohs? The Rabbitohs are losing these sorts of games, and then unable to if you look at the schedule of the Rabbitohs, a lot of people were saying the Warriors and the Rabbitohs had the easiest run home. Warriors have won all these close games. Rabbitohs haven't. They've lost a couple. That's the reason the Warriors are firmly in the top four and the Rabbitohs are struggling to make
So there's about four or five games that the Warriors have scraped home. They don't usually do that. Just gritty, right? And they could be coming fucking eighth.
Yep.
But they've won those games and they deserve to be where they are.
Warriors left edge, though. Three to Sabi. One of them was 50-50. Are you worried about that?
Who's left edge now?
Got Marcelo Montoya, Pompey, and Luke Metcalf with who's the back row over there? Jackson Ford. So it's usually been
pretty good.
Yeah, for a long period it was. It's quite when you think about it, it's a very inexperienced left edge, especially with combinations. They've done well. I think they've all four of those guys have overachieved this year.
Big time.
If you look at what they've put together in their careers leading up to this year, that would be my only concern.
Just look that there was no trust there. Mm. Right? It was just basic plays and Sarby's. And I know Sarby's got some pace, but like Montoya should have read those plays earlier. And Pompey was getting fucking schooled.
Mm. Well, they're in and around Metcalf, right? They're running those lines Metcalf's in between Pompey and Metcalf. Metcalf's
the strongest defender, right? He turns in a lot and all he has to do is turn in a lot, and then Pompey's got to turn in, and then Montoya's got to turn in. And that's all that he – that's all Sarby needs. Yeah. And he's gone. So they just need to get that shit sorted.
He made, which he, I think he they made will. That 2 meters or 3 meters that he had look easy by the end of the season scoring them.
But that's all it is, man. And that's from your right. It's from your right four. He starts all that, all those movements, and that's and it comes from your middles as well. Yep. They need to be coming up and hunting from the inside. You know, Jackson Ford needs to make better decisions, but it's coming from Metcalf. They're spotting him up, and it's making Pompey turn in all the time.
Mm. It can't just all be Metcalf though. They've got to be, everyone's got to be accountable for
it. I know,
sure.
I know, but like just say he's, because you know the rules, like they go in, everyone else has to go in.
Yeah.
You can't be like leaving Metcalf isolated. They're trying to protect him. So then everyone's going to move in. Everyone comes up same sort of shape. Like it just needs to be better shape.
The thing that might help him is
reading it better.
It might be a bit of a shock when they get to the finals, but they've got the Dragons. Well, that's actually not a bad edge for the Dragons when you look at
good,
Ben
man.
Hunt, Ravalara and Moses Sully. Mm. And the week after, they'll get the Dolphins, which is their better edge as well, with Jermaine Asako and Cody Nikorima has been a really good Nick as well. All right, the last little bit.
Schuster,
25 minutes, zero carries, and apparently he's dropped this week. They just signed him for 3 years, Mace. Where do they go with this?
Run the fucking ball, kid. All I want him doing, I just want him to run. Like, just don't. You can't be a ball player for the whole game. Like, he's a big boy, man.
Well, like, his best work is clearly his ball playing. Yeah, but like all good ball players, you've got to get into the game first, right?
And this is what happens. Just say if you're a good ball player, you know he's not going to run. You don't even bother about him.
Mm.
Come up, check, boom, straight under the lead.
Yeah.
Straight. That's why they just come up, and then they'll it's easy to defend. If he dummies every now and again and tries to have a crack, gets an offload away because he can offload mad, you know what I mean? But he just needs to take the line on.
Do you know why this is the most alarming that I've ever had been with Shuey? And I've had a little bit to do with Shuey. I love him. He's a good kid. And it's sometimes hard to speak about him when you develop a little relationship. But the concerning bit for me is he played 25 minutes. He was on the bench for Jacob Arthur. And then he hasn't come on with like – I've been dropped multiple times. I've been dropped out of the team to the bench at times in my career. The first thing I want to do when I'm back in the team or off the bench is get a carry straight away.
That was hard.
Give me like 2 to 3 carries and be able to show the coaches, the boys that I want to be here. That
I want to be here.
I'm grateful to be here and get after.
What does that show, the coach?
It's very concerning. It's very concerning. The coach, it's the most I've been concerned about him. And then obviously moving forward, 3-year deal. Like, what's the coach plan?
I don't really give a shit. That's what it says to me, you know what I mean? Which he might give a shit. You don't have fucking Jonathan Thurston in front of you, but Jake Arthur, right? And he's going to take those opportunities.
Yep.
Because he's like, you know.
Jake, he's the opposite. Less he's the talent, opposite. But just fucking
nowhere near as much talent as him, but he'll go after it.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? When you've got a bloke like Schuster, you're just paying $800,000 a year for. Like, come on, bro. Let's get it going. Mm. Like, play to your ability. Your ability is fucking high. And it's disappointing to see those stats and to get dropped. And you just signed a 3-year deal. So it's like, fuck, did we make the right decision?
Some hard truths are going to be have to talked about with regards to that locker room at the moment. Some big decisions coming up because, that's not looking like a great contract at the moment based off what this individual performance has shown me. So plenty to be going on at Manly, as per. There's always plenty going on at Manly. Moving on to the Eels versus Roosters, 34-12. The Roosters were fairly dominant. Oh, yeah. Parrish showed a lot of fight. They're still showing a lot of fight. But I want to go back to – we were talking about this on the way in. We were talking about Lindsay Collins, right? Me and you were talking about Lindsay Collins for your dog of the week. Roosters have shown this effort. I'd go as far back to the Manly and Storm losses. And you think about their Storm loss, the one that they lost in the SCG. They got pumped.
Pumped.
But they were still trying their fucking asses off. The bounce of the ball wasn't going. Final tackle. They were really poor at last tackle sets. Like you think of the Broncos game. Last tackle, six again. Broncos go bang, bang. The Broncos are two class and they flog them as well. But if you think four from the last five, they've won now and they need to beat the Rabbitohs in the last round to potentially make the playoffs. What a turnaround. And I think it's one of those – we talked about it, right? Remember I compared them to our 2015 Manly team?
Yeah.
When all the pressure went off and all the anxiety of like,
yeah,
all right,
and then we started winning.
We're only a mathematical chance of making it now.
Yeah.
Let's just try win a few games and see what happens. I feel like the Roosters have done that and they're going to make it interesting the last two rounds.
I think just watching them play, looked like they had fun, right? Victor Radley had a smile on his face. You know, he's telling avocado jokes after the fight, on an interview.
How good's that to see?
Which is great, and because it looks like he's been down, right? And I just think he's copped a bit this year, and it ain't about his footy. I mean, it ain't about him being a fucking like getting suspended or anything like
that. Yeah, okay. Important, right?
Yeah. So just say if you're, Willie's playing Sam Burgess, all these sort of blokes, and you just keep getting suspended, you're fucking aggressive as hell. It's just like, you got to turn it down a little bit. That's all people were saying about Victor Radley for years.
Yep.
Turn it down. We need your best abilities availability.
Yep.
Bro, you're suspended for 6 weeks a year.
Yep.
We need you.
What about this year?
The narrative started turning like, he ain't playing that good.
Mm.
He's like out of form.
Mm.
All this sort of shit when I'm hearing like –
heard that before.
I'm hearing these commentators going, oh, he's really out of form. He's got no confidence, all this sort of shit.
He's playing right
edge. That starts fucking with you.
He's playing right edge.
Yeah.
I know they had a heap of injuries.
Yeah, but I'm like, why are you putting him on an edge? First of all, he's a middleman. He's one of the best middles in the game.
Mm.
But I think they fuck with him for a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? It's just because he never copped that. As I said, it's always been about an aggressive, always been one of the best locks. He should have played New South Wales. This. High raps, high character. Everything's just fucking top notch. Never, ever doubted him as a footballer. And then he copped a little bit of criticism and it was fucking hard for him to get back.
Mm.
But he's back.
Yep, I agree.
And I think just having him out there with that energy, getting the ball, playing the right plays, fucking running hard, hitting hard again, playing fair – and having fun. He's their spiritual leader.
They were having some fun. I thought Teddy was obviously really good.
Teddy was outstanding too.
That right edge is starting to get back. They're starting to – I think when all the noise went away, I think there was points throughout the year where there was a lot of chat around Joey Manu's best position in the team.
Yeah.
And now Teddy's come back from – tell you what, those two holidays worked out really well. Bradman Best in Bali and Teddy in Byron have worked out really well for both of them, haven't they?
A bit of sun.
There you go. There's a bit of a blueprint for the coaches. Maybe just fucking
– whoever's your best player
and he's out of form, for a bit.
Fuck him off to Cairns. All Bali. Give him some sun, bit of vitamin D. If I'd have told you this at the start of the year, if we had this conversation, we're like, you know, the Roosters are a chance, Souths are a chance, Parramatta's a chance – of not making the eight, would you have said?
Well, so like
not making the eight.
All right, so let's go this right. So at the start of the year, you go, we've got the Roosters, Rabbitohs,
and Cowboys. Sorry, and the Cowboys.
The Roosters, the Rabbitohs, Cowboys, Parramatta, and Manly. Only one of them are going to make the eight.
Yep.
Only one of them. Let me say that again: the Roosters, Rabbitohs, Cowboys, Manly, and Parramatta, and only one of them are going to make the eight at the start of the year.
Who would have thought that?
This season has been one of my favourite seasons in a long time.
And if you're a coach, another question. Just say if you're a coach of the Bulldogs, you're a coach of the Tigers, you're a coach of the Dragons, your roster is nowhere near these guys.
No, of course.
But – you know, just say if you pick the Roosters and Rabbits.
Yep.
And you probably pick the
who
top
would you have,
50. You pick the top 50 players, they've got about 10 or 12 in that.
Just quickly, out of those five, and I said only one are going to make it, which one would you have picked? One of them's a grand finalist, Parramatta. The other two are the most
– Rabbits and Roosters, I would have thought they would have been top four.
One of them two?
Third or fourth. But I was Brisbane.
Cowboys were second.
Yeah.
But at the end of the season, like, or was third.
Yeah. Same rosters.
Who would you have picked out of the five?
To make the
eight out of the five.
Roosters and Rabbits were locks for me. Yeah. Locks.
Yeah.
Like, not even – I'm thinking Penrith, Panthers, Roosters, Rabbits, third and fourth. And I'm like, back to my question, if you're a coach – would you be so much disappointed just saying the Roosters and and
oh, who would have been South. More? Who would have been more
and
disappointed?
South, you know what I mean? Like, you've got a roster there where you've got Latrell Mitchell, you've got like, you know, Teddy, you got Joey Manu, you got Victor Radley, you got JWH, you got Lindsay Collins, you got Brandon Smith. You know what I mean? You got Tupou, you got Suoliti.
If you're a coach of those teams, and you've or got like the same,
you got Bulldogs who have got a rebuilding team, and you still got the same fucking achievement at the end of the day. You're not making the fucking eight.
Mm.
You'd be more shattered.
Yeah. So if you're a coach of all those teams,
Latrell, Cook,
who's been the most underwhelming? Has it been the Rabbitohs?
Yeah, Latrell, Cook, Cam Murray, Totola, Tom Burgess,
yep.
Campbell Graham,
it's Rabbitohs.
Johnson.
It's definitely
right. You know what I mean? But then I'm just named the Roosters before. Teddy, Joey Manu, Tupou.
There's a part of me that is can see a reason for the Roosters. I think I think there's going to be a change in the guard, if not next year, 100% the year after. So I can see a world in which, even though I picked the Roosters to be in the grand final with the Cowboys,
sitting top four. The
10th, I'm more disappointed in the Cowboys and the Rabbitohs.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm, you know, I'm Todd Payton off the back of what they did last year, the amount of rep footy they played last year.
That they do have.
They've got stars across the park. I think Rabbitohs and Roosters have for sure got more star power, but I think Cowboys have got better depth across the entire 17, even going deep into 21. Yeah. Yeah.
Be disappointing anyway. As you coach, as I said, like, you know, the Tigers and the Tigers, the Dragons, the Bulldogs, you know, like, we're not going to make the eight, guaranteed.
But the expectations wouldn't have been to make the eight.
Expectations wasn't to be top four or win the comp.
Yeah.
You're like, you're still in the rebuilding stage.
That's a good point. A lot of those teams wouldn't meet expectations. They're not even eight. It's top four.
Maybe, yeah. We're like, if everybody plays to their potential, has career best years at the Bulldogs, and we had no injuries, no kick out's not out for 15 weeks, T's not out for 8 weeks. You know, like, players coming in and out of the team. We had to use a heap of reserve graders to be on the bench.
Yep.
Change everything around. There was no continuity. You know what I mean? Like, that's the sort of year you're going to have. And we're still like, just say, we dropped five or six easy games this year. That could have got us in the eight.
Yep. But even going back to the five that we mentioned before, their ambitions wouldn't have been top eight. They would have been top four.
Grand final.
Top four.
Like, they'll be thinking, we've got a massive chance to make the grand final this year. Easy top four.
Two of those teams that wouldn't have, Tigers and Dolphins, they're at the bottom. This game was
still a decent game.
It was all right. It was a good game, wasn't it? Because the Dolphins are super competitive, 24-23. Uppy wills his team to win.
Yeah.
I'll throw one out, yeah? Despite their position on the ladder, I think there's a real argument for Uppy Coruscant to be in contention for signing of the year. I think they not only don't win the games that they've won this year, I think they get blown out in multiple other games that he's not a part of. When he missed games, they were indeed getting blown out. And I think if they can sort out this front office shit and let Benji, I think you're going to see the fruits of signing an Uppy Coruscant and the changing of culture in maybe not year one, maybe not year two, and it's very hard to be patient as a Tigers fan, but
I can see
Uppy Coruscant is a leader.
I can see him jump from Wooden Spoon into a top eight team next year.
Next year?
Yep. That's how much of improvement they've got in them, and they just haven't played to their potential. They got off to the worst fucking start of all time.
0-8?
Yeah, and that – you know, if they jag four or five of those games, they're not looking too bad.
Let's throw that in as well, right? Start of the year, Uppy Coruscant missed maybe the first game, second game, and then he come back. And when he come back, he was on limited minutes. He was also banged up because he had a calf injury that he carried all the way through preseason out of the World Cup. So, I think Tigers will be big improvers. He was clutch. He had to because he gave away that 10 minutes. Oh, we're going to have to quicken up here. Tigers get the win. So apologies, we've got 10 minutes left in the studio, so we'll move on. The Dolphins are just running out of troops, Mace.
Yeah.
The Titans and Panthers, we'll go through a couple of their stats. The Panthers win 40-14. The Titans were playing near perfect in that game, and they still lost by 26. They were 95%
completion rate
with 10 minutes to go, and Panthers still go on and win by a big margin in the end. Critter, I think, is super underrated. He's my clear cut pick for number two center in the game right now behind Manu. He had three try assists, all in completely different ways. Shout out disappointing that Jaden Campbell's ACL injury. You know what? Let's not even rush this. Let's attack this on the preview. All right, we'll get back to it. I don't want to, you know, there's some really big games in the Knights versus Rabbitohs. I want to get your thoughts on the Raiders versus Bulldogs. We've only got limited studio time for tonight. So, no, I'm just going to leave the last four games. So let's go Titans, Panthers, Dragon Storm, Knights versus Rabbits, Raiders versus Bulldogs. I'll put that at the start of the preview because we're just running out of time in the studio. So thank you for joining us. Thank you to everyone in New Zealand, and we'll see you at the preview.
Thank you, guys.